This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, joins us on Tuesday afternoons to talk about growth and development issues here in Central Virginia. How was your weekend?
Good.
You were telling me before we went on the air that you just drove a lot.
We were looking at gas prices all over Virginia and Maryland.
Are they good anywhere?
Well, no, they're not. But the funny thing is, I mean, for parents, you know, and I have kids. I have a 6th grader and a 10th grader. And for people who are too young to have kids who are doing travel sports yet, or who are too old and never had to deal with travel sports. Not too old, who were old enough to the point where they didn't have to deal with travel sports.
Yeah.
Like when I was a kid, you know, I played soccer, but I never had to go anywhere.
Travel was like to the park.
Right.
Or back to the school later on in the day, you know, or I mean, it was just.
And the sports phenomenon is just totally different these days. And so our family literally had to split up over the weekend. My wife Jean took our son Sam down to Williamsburg for a 2-day soccer tournament. Went very well. They had a great time. And then I took our daughter, Abby, up to Baltimore for a 2-day lacrosse tournament.
She's like a star lacrosse
player. So we were literally in different hotels opposite, you know, one in Virginia, one in Maryland. And
that's the modern day 21st century sports for kids now.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You're on the road all the time.
So and so the parents of the generation who didn't do that say, what are you, crazy?
Yeah.
and the people whose kids aren't old enough yet don't know what's coming.
Yeah, I'm dreading it. No sports. Do band.
They travel to contests all over the place too. So
yeah.
I'm not sure that gets you out of it.
We may have to reevaluate this given gas prices.
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder about that. We need some alternative fuel vehicle that's hydrogen powered or something.
Yeah, we got to do something. Fast. This is getting ridiculous because I'm even looking at scooters. Because those little scooters you see people on,
they
get like 80 miles to the gallon.
I'm seeing more and more motorcycles too on the highway.
Yeah. I mean, you have to do something. You get to the point where it's like, well, wait a minute. And Allison was saying the other day, she read somewhere where it could go up to like $12 a gallon. Well, if it does that, this society's going to shut down.
On CNN this morning, there was a gas pump. They did a little special on how, you know, those old style gas pumps where you watch the numbers turn on the dial.
Yeah, that's what I grew up on, of course.
Right. Well, they never had a 4 in the dollar place. So $3.99 and 9 cents is as high as the gas goes on those old pumps. And they said something like 10% of the pumps in the country are like that.
Are still those
old
pumps.
And they literally can't calculate $4 and something a gallon. So they had this place up in New York where there was a line of cars to get their gas because it was the cheapest gas around because it's frozen at the top. And so everyone was going there to get their gas. And the gas station is, of course, trying to rapidly implement the new pumps.
But, I mean, what do you do? What do you do? Because it makes food more expensive. Governments have all these vehicles that they have to get on the road, school buses and the rescue squads and the fire engines and police cars. And I mean, society runs on this stuff.
CNN also mentioned that for the first time since they've been recording this, the vehicle miles traveled, that's how we track how much we drive as a country, dropped in March by the largest percent it's ever dropped. And so that's the first indication that people are starting to adjust, you know, their lifestyle.
Yeah.
But that was in March. So I assume April and May's numbers are also going to show drops as the price has gone up dramatically since then. But we heard recently in this community, an expert was speaking. Yeah, I might have mentioned on the show, there was a transportation planning workshop on a Saturday, and it's called UnJam 2035. And this is how our community comes together to plan long-term for transportation.
Okay.
They invited in a speaker to talk about, smart transportation. And he was saying that the price of gas will only put a slight dent in our behavior. And the reason is because of where we live. So the land use decisions about, you know, where our homes are, are the driving factor, so to speak. So you and I live out in Ivy.
Yeah.
We are going to have to drive to get to work. And whatever.
Or a grocery store or anything.
Right.
Yeah.
So we will have to have a vehicle. We already made a decision about where we wanted to live. Now we could move And that habit, you know, may impact and our use of cars and alternative transportation. But in a area like Charlottesville, Albemarle, that doesn't have the density that a big city does, where you can use public transit heavily, and people make decisions about where to live based on how far they are from, you know, a transit stop, you really don't see that happening around here. Although you've got some smart realtors, you know, Jim Duncan out in Crozet is certainly trying to get people thinking about how much it's going to cost to commute from the different houses you might buy, and how much, how much more house you could afford if you lived closer to where you work.
Interesting.
So anyway,
I've started
thinking much more carefully about these things as we're driving around.
You have to, because we're spending a fortune on it. Yeah. And you have to start thinking, okay, I can't afford on a Saturday just to roam 29 from store to store, which we do on occasion. You know, you got your list and you're going to do different things. You sort of have to start thinking like we used to think when we lived down in North Garden. We lived down on off of Cove Garden Road years ago, and we would have to think, half hour into town. We got to make our big list. We got to do it all at once, you know, and we got to figure out how to do this as economically as possible, because we're only going to go into town once. And it really makes you think. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. And John is on line one. John, welcome to the program. You're on with Brian. You go right ahead.
Hey, Corey. How you doing?
Very good.
Hey, Brian. Look, the way to cut these gas prices is when these truckers stop hauling stuff to the grocery stores and filling up the shelves with stuff and those big cheeses up in there making those prices high, they got to eat too, you know. So when there's nothing there for them to eat and everybody is trying to get stuff out of the grocery store, well, you know what? That's when them gas prices are going to be coming down.
John, I don't quite follow. What do you mean?
I don't want to know what that means.
Well, the thing is, it's so high. Even, you know, truckers are complaining a lot. So, I mean,
they will stop delivering, is what you're saying.
Yeah. They got to truck it to the store. When they stop bringing it to the store, it's not going to be there to buy, right?
I know those trucks cost, you know, over $1,000 to fill up with diesel.
You're kidding.
I've seen that on the news.
Gosh.
But it is a concern, and I don't really know the economics of the trucking business and how the truckers work with different food companies and how that all works. But you're definitely seeing it impact the cost of groceries too.
John, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Well, I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say it's scary. I mean, it truly is scary. Now, I'm not about to say, oh, I can't go to the store or I can't drive to work. It hasn't hit us like that yet. But some people it has, you know, but it is truly like it's on the radar screen now. And it truly is something that I think we're all talking about it. I passed somebody on Riverview Park on the Rivanna Trail the other day. And they were walking by talking about gas. You know, we're all talking about it. We're all concerned about it. And I think it is scary. It is scary. And it makes you think, well, what are we doing? Are we doing anything in anticipation of whether gas running out or gas being $12 a gallon or any of that? Because when this is unlike the 70s when there just wasn't any gas. And then when they got it, okay, you can go get in line or it's your day to go buy gas or whatever. This is just really expensive gas and it's driving up the prices of everything else. It's very, very different from the 70s.
Well, this is sort of outside of my area of expertise, but I know I saw in the news George Bush was, you know, over in Saudi Arabia recently talking to them about
talking
the price of gas.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
I don't know how successful that was, but
probably not.
Probably not.
Probably not at all. Well, I heard that the Saudi Arabia is one place where some people think that they're actually running out of gas in Saudi Arabia, where you think it's most plentiful. They're having to use much more water now to get the gas out of the ground, a lot more than they've ever used before, which means they're getting to sort of the bottom of those pits way down there, and it's harder to get the gas out. From gas supply to water supply, we're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. What's the very latest on that? There's more like a public hearing or a vote?
Well, just want to make sure the public is keeping up with that. The Charlottesville City Council had a public hearing May 19th. We talked a lot about that on the air. And the next step is for them to take a vote. They did not vote that evening because one of the councilors was not there and they wanted everyone to be there. So June 2nd, next Monday night, City Council is expected to take a vote and either ask for something different or reaffirm their support for the community water supply plan.
So what's going to happen?
Well, as I said,
you know all these people.
You know, as I said last week, I haven't heard any major shift in thinking from city council, at least in that they would back away from the 50-year plan. I have heard them say they think dredging the South Fork Ravanna Reservoir needs to be a part of our plan for the future, and that that's a reservoir that needs to be taken care of, and that the community needs to come together and look at whether it's, you know, water supply, recreation, or whatever those things are that we want to use that reservoir for, that we need to have a plan to maintain its function in the future. So that's what I expect will happen, that they'll reaffirm their support and they'll say to Gary O'Connell and Judy Mueller, I sort of merged them together there, that they will tell them when they go back to the Ravanna Water and Sewer Authority Board, where they represent the city, to make sure dredging is part of the plan.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow. You can learn more online at SeavilleTomorrow.org. It's our community C-SPAN keeping you up to date about all the big public hearings and the public meetings and the votes about a whole host of related issues regarding growth and development and the water supply and all sorts of good stuff. What is this about Fredericksburg officials and the MPO?
Well, it's interesting. You know, the Chamber of Commerce invited the folks from Danville and Lynchburg to come up, and they were talking about 29 and the bypass. And the Metropolitan Planning Organization also went outside our community and invited some other officials to come in and tell us about how they view the transportation challenge. They went to Fredericksburg, and they invited the Metropolitan Planning Organization reps from there, which included a city councilor from Fredericksburg City, to come talk to us about what they're doing. And interestingly, they are trying to do the same thing that Charlottesville and Albemarle are to some extent, and that is to get their own taxing authority. And
Fredericksburg City or for Fredericksburg and Spotsylvania?
For their MPO, for a broader locality. And I'm not sure which localities are in that, but for their region, which is outside of the Washington metro area. But they are trying to do it for a transportation authority, whereas Charlottesville and Albemarle have been talking about it as a transit authority. So we've talked about that on the program, where the city and the county have come together and said, we want to work together on public transit. We need enabling legislation from the General Assembly to do that. And what's interesting about this, Coy, is that, of course, the governor has now called a special session on transportation because they didn't finish that business in the regular General Assembly.
Yep.
And there's not a lot of consensus right now, I guess I would say, about what's going to come out of that session. The governor's made some recommendations. The House Republican leadership has said, you know, they're dead on arrival. And
the Senate wants a gas tax.
And the governor didn't put the gas tax in his plan.
No, he didn't want a gas tax.
He didn't think that was appropriate, given the price of gas, as we were just talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's interesting, though, is the General Assembly is having to deal with the fact that they had these taxing authorities in place for the Hampton Roads area and for the Washington area, and they were ruled unconstitutional because they were non-elected entities that were put in charge of taxing. Charlottesville and Albemarle wanted to do it as City Council Board of Supervisors. We'll work together, and so we're elected, and that should be okay. Again, it comes down to they need General Assembly support to do this. So one of the issues coming up is, will the General Assembly in June talk about broader enabling authority for all of Virginia to give localities the ability to raise taxes to pay for local transportation needs?
The precedent is there. They've obviously recognized that need with Hampton Roads in Northern Virginia, even though there's a lot of people in those areas who don't want it. But, you know, they've made it clear, at least, you know, the Republicans in Richmond, we don't want to do that anymore. We don't want, if you want taxes for transportation, you're going to have to do it on a local or regional level. They won't go there. And at this point, that's the way it looks.
And what Fredericksburg is looking at is a half-cent regional tax, sales tax, combined with some property tax increases. And they're trying to raise about $50 million in the first year if they do this. So, I'm sorry, and I'm looking at this, a half-cent gas tax. They're looking at a gas tax. I'm really mixed up.
You are Brian
Wheeler.
There are
all sorts of taxes here.
And again, so folks don't get confused. This is in Fredericksburg.
This is in the Fredericksburg area.
And this is something they're experimenting with. We don't have the authority here yet to do something like that.
We don't.
To have regional taxes. But Charlottesville, Albemarle have told Richmond that they want it.
They haven't told them officially yet. But that's what they would want to do in advance of the 2009 General Assembly session. So the question is, will anything in June impact that decision? If coming out of the General Assembly, there's broader enabling legislation on the table, that could help us. If, however, there's opposition to any tax whatsoever being added to help at the local level with transportation needs, then that could hurt us and set us up to not get their support in the 2009 General Assembly session.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, joins us on Tuesday afternoons to talk growth and development. We were talking during the break how we're both just so tired and we don't know why. I am so tired. I could lay down on this floor right here and go to sleep. I'm not quite sure why.
I suggested we just have community nap time for the next 15 minutes. we'll wake you all up when the commercials are ready.
We could just have a little quiet nap show where we just play some nice music and everybody just take a nap. The only problem is, a lot of people are driving, so that's probably not a good idea.
That's probably not a good idea. And speaking of driving, I mean, I was trying to talk about transportation in the last segment, and I was making no sense. And then you just played all those politicians in that soundbite, you know, who are also making no sense. I was thinking, oh, God, I probably sounded horrible. But the point of what I was trying to say is that there are a couple things happening with transportation, both at the state level, but then we've got some interesting opinions being voiced locally. So locally, we've got the Daily Progress now running their second editorial in favor of a gas tax. So that's something where the proponents—
I totally missed that, really.
Yep. The proponents of a gas tax, of course, see that as a, you know, it's a user fee. The people using the roads pay the cost. The challenge of Virginia is how to raise, I think I heard David Toscano on your program say, you know, $1 billion. How can we raise $1 billion for transportation projects, not just road building, but for maintenance, for alternative transportation, public transit, you name it. How can we raise that money to help locally? Our local wish list is about $100 million worth of projects that this community has said are on its priority list. These are projects that have been vetted through the public process, and what is in common for all of them is they don't have the money to move forward. So you've got Daily Progress weighing in on the gas tax. You've got the local Chamber of Commerce and the State Chamber of Commerce writing letters to the governor saying, this is the State Chamber of Commerce. We believe the Commonwealth's transportation infrastructure is a critical component of its economic success. They say we need at least $1 billion annually to sustain maintenance and construction cost. And the chamber says, quote, the most appropriate solution is a package of revenue generators that are simple, sustainable, and sufficient and accrue from broad-based revenue options. And they cite a cents per gallon increase in the gas tax and then also an increase in the sales tax. Now, the local chamber, the Charlottesville Albemarle Chamber of Commerce, their government affairs committee has weighed in on this, and they have said that they will support a gas tax at the local level. So,
really? The local chamber of commerce said that?
The local chamber of commerce has said they—
That's surprising.
They reached consensus to support
But at the end of the day, a good road system is one of the best things you can do for commerce. I mean, that the history of Virginia has shown that. That's not in debate.
And, you know, the other thing that's happened locally is we've got news like on projects like the Hillsdale Drive. So this is one of those parallel roads to Route 29. When this community talks about fixing 29, it usually talks about it in terms of building parallel roads.
Yeah.
Berkmar Drive extended.
Release some of the traffic.
Hillsdale Drive is one of them.
Yeah. And Hillsdale Drive, they've already torn down the movie theater so they could make it, and then they got no money. They had the money to tear the movie theater down, but they don't have the money to build the road that would go where the movie theater used to be.
Right. And so writing Seth Rosen wrote in the Daily Progress in mid-May, construction of Hillsdale Drive has been delayed for several years because of the drop in state funding. So now the state is telling the city of Charlottesville that it's not going to get any money until 2014. And at that point, the state is going to give them $332,000 for that road.
So say goodbye to the Hillsdale Drive.
It's, you know, it will join roads like
Eastern Connector,
Jarman's Gap, Georgetown Road, roads that have been at the top of the priority list locally, but don't have funding from the state. So the local politicians have gotten over the fact that they might set a precedent and start building roads themselves. Because, you know, when I first started doing this job 3 years ago, the local politicians said, oh, we can't go to the state and tell them we'll do this ourselves and raise our own taxes, because then they'll just let us off the hook and they won't worry about it anymore. Well, now it's reached the point where nothing's happening at the state level. So, yes, local government is asking for change. And that's what I was...
You don't have any other way to fund the roads because Richmond won't give you the money.
Right. And so the folks from Fredericksburg, who I was talking about in the previous segment, they came and spoke to our local officials and said, listen, from our point of view in Fredericksburg, VDOT needs to take care of the major highways, but secondary roads, you know, let's get in a position where local government can take care of those. But you need to give us the ability to do that. You need to give us taxing authority.
Yeah.
Because Virginia is a Dillon Rule state, that means you can only do things Richmond has said are okay. Richmond has not said that's okay for most of Virginia. So one of the questions about this special session the governor has called for June 23rd is, will there be any sign that local governments might get that power? If nothing happens... This is not an election year. So if you're thinking politically, this would be the year to start that ball moving.
Yeah.
Once you get to 2009, then you've got a general assembly where everyone's up on the ballot that fall. The governor's
race.
They
don't want to even say that. The three letter word tax.
And
I don't see him getting a statewide gas tax through with gas prices the way they are.
Well, and the governor didn't even include that in his plan for that reason. So. That's where we are. That's why it's confusing and was making my head
spin. Do we know if David Toscano or Rob Bell is actually, or Creed Eads is actually going to suggest that Central Virginia have that authority?
I'm trying to think if I've heard them.
Because I haven't.
I don't think they, well, let's see. I don't know about Mr. Bell. I think Mr. Toscano has said that he doesn't have a problem with local government having that authority. I'm not sure about Delegate Bell.
I find it interesting that the local Chamber of Commerce is pushing for it.
Well, again, I think...
I mean, I can see the reasons why, but it's still surprising.
As you said, you know, the business community sees that as one of its the key infrastructure needs.
I mean, if your community is not going to invest in your infrastructure and your roads and your highways and your byways that make the economy churn, that make it possible for an economy to churn, then something's wrong. And the business folks are nervous.
And the chamber has also come out in the past month and voiced support again for the Meadow Creek Parkway and again for Hillsdale Drive and trying to keep those projects moving.
Yeah.
So they're being vocal and as a business community here locally and, again, joining the Daily Progress, calling for a gas tax. And right now that's not in the cards down in Richmond, but we'll see where it goes in June.
And they go back in June for the special session. Yeah,
June 23rd, I believe, is when it starts.
That song brings back some memories, doesn't it?
I love that. You know,
you grew up on REM just like I did, didn't you?
Big time.
That was like the group in the 80s, wasn't it?
Yep. I remember I was at summer camp and my best friend at summer
Flashback coming.
She said...
The screen gets all wavy.
She was spending some time in Athens, Georgia, and she said, Brian, there's this band called REM and you need to be on the lookout for them.
No kidding. Yep. When was this? Early on.
This was... I don't know.
Back when they were
80, probably 79, 80.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, really early. Yeah. Back when they were just playing...
Before they hit the big time.
Yeah. It reminds me, I was dating some woman, girl, whatever you want to call it. And although she was a woman, she was divorced. I was in grad school, she was divorced. And I'll never forget the day when she said, I want to take you to Max or Trax, which one, I can't remember. I want you to hear this group. They're really good. They're called Dave Matthews Band. And they're really good. I'm like, who the heck is that?
You know, I have never seen the Dave Matthews Band.
She took me one. What they used to play every week. What, Tuesday night, I think?
I know. How did I miss that?
I will never forget it. I stood right by the speaker, and I was in awe. And I said, these guys are amazing. I mean, it was just great. You walk in, you're like, oh, my gosh. It's packed. Everybody's dancing. The music is fantastic. And this was in 91, 92?
Yeah, see, I had just graduated from UVA in 1990, and so my visits to those establishments...
You were gone.
Yes.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. You grow up, you get responsibilities.
Yeah,
you got
I was
a job.
Married, I had a house, kids.
But you can still enjoy good music, can't you?
So I missed out on the Dave Matthews scene.
What is this about the fleshy stuff?
The fleshy stuff. Well, we've talked about this in the past, but Will Goldsmith has done some of his homework on this in the latest Seaville Weekly, which is out today. And he's got an article in here entitled Camelot Wastewater Plant Nears Capacity. Well, you've heard me talk about this plant because the Camelot Wastewater Treatment Plant is located right across the street from the National Ground Intelligence Center and the future North Point development. And you may remember that Richard Spurzum, a local developer, was trying to get some residential housing started up in the North Point development, and he ran
they
into the problem that they would not accept his sewage.
They gave him the rezoning he wanted to build all those homes up there, but he couldn't get the permit to build because the sewage isn't.
That's right. Developer Chuck Rotkin got the entire property rezoned, and then Richard Spurzum was going to develop the first piece of it, but he found that the pipes were not going to be there for sewer. So that has held him up and is still holding him up. However, Wendell Wood is not being held up by this, and that's the heart of Will Goldsmith's story here. Wendell Wood, another developer up in that corridor, has got a office complex going in across the street from the National Ground Intelligence Center up Boulder Road, you know, right up with the Army base
right
up there.
Up in that same area. Why wouldn't it hold Wendell Wood up if he's using the same wastewater plant and it would hold somebody else up?
Two reasons. Gravity.
Money and money. No, I'm just kidding.
Gravity,
I'm just kidding. I'm just
gravity
kidding.
Gravity and money. You can call it money. I mean, Mr. Wood helped build the Camelot waste treatment plant back when it was first built, because it was built privately at first, and then the Albemarle County Service Authority took it over later. And so he's been involved in construction up there and had a stake in that facility. So the county is accommodating that and said that he would be allowed to gravity flow his sewer needs into that facility. But it is reaching the breaking point. And so the solution...
And that's something you don't want to break.
No,
can we
not.
Just say that? Have you ever seen a broken septic field?
the long-term solution is build a new pump station and not even try to treat it there. Just pump it to Moores Creek in the city of Charlottesville.
Like Crozet does.
Pump it to
they
the
pump
Moores
all
Creek
their flush
facility.
Stuff that's to right. Charlottesville.
That's right.
I still find that fascinating.
Isn't that funny?
You flush your toilet in Crozet, and it goes to Charlottesville.
So here's the news. The UVA Foundation, the Ground Intelligence Center, Wendell Wood, and the North Point developers are all going to work together to help pay for this $7 million project to build a new pump station. So that's in the works. It's not going to happen soon enough.
So they're just going to close down what's there and just pump everything? Or
they will. They will decommission that. But in the meantime, they're going to have to spend $500,000 to keep it alive for the next 2 years.
Interesting.
So Will did a good story on that. Check it out in the Seville Weekly.
And we're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. You handed me a map during this break. And
I should have waited till you were on the air because your reaction was priceless.
To recreate my reaction, I don't remember exactly what I said, but it was something to the effect, oh my God! This is a map of a new shopping center that's going to be built on 29 North, where, of course, we need more shopping centers, right across the street from Lowe's. And this is another Wendell Wood development.
That's right. It's called Northtown Center.
Well, when he gets going, he gets going.
Don't know if Mr. Wood is still involved in this. I'll try to figure that out.
This is huge.
But he got this property rezoned. This is the parcel that the community who's been following this, it's in between Woodbrook and Carsbrook. And it's most of those trees that you see along 29 North on the right side.
Across from Lowe's, yeah.
Directly across from Lowe's and Kegler's. And what he's got proposed there.
Right, like right when you pass Cat Care?
Yes, exactly. Okay. And that stereo shop that used to be.
Yeah.
And this is in front of the Albemarle County Planning Commission next Tuesday night, June 3rd. And we'll have more information when I'm on your program next week. But the proposal as it reads here is to construct three buildings totaling about 84,000 square feet for retail development. And this would be phase one of the Northtown Center project. I believe when he got the rezoning, he could have up to around 150,000. So this is maybe, only 84,000 of that in the first phase. I'm not sure exactly what types of stores would be there. I'll see if that's detailed in the application.
Didn't years ago they wanted to build a Home Depot over there and the neighborhood shut it down?
I think that was.
Or somebody shut it down. It's the same place.
I can't remember if that's the Home Depot, because there was that other place they wanted to put the Home Depot on 5th Street, south of town.
That's still going in, though.
And yes, and that's likely where it's going to be.
But this was...
But was that before the Lowe's was built?
No, it was after the Lowe's.
He wanted to put a Home Depot right across from Lowe's.
That's what the rumor was, that there was going to be a Home Depot built across the street at a new shopping center. Yeah. This is huge. What's it called? Northtown Center?
Northtown Center. And one of the controversial points of this, well, one, you have a lot of homes in the Woodbrook neighborhood that back right up to this.
Yeah.
But you also have...
Do they know this is coming?
Well...
Hello?
That's why we have this program. You also have these ponds in the Carsbrook neighborhood.
Yeah.
And they're worried about, guess what?
Infill.
Siltation.
Yeah. That's welcome to Albemarle County.
So there were some requirements put on this development when it was approved that there'd have to be mitigation and prevention measures in place. But the creek that currently runs through that property will be sent underground, just like it is on the other side of the street.
Yeah.
It's been undergrounded.
And so folks know this is sort of across from Lowe's and across from Kegler's.
Right.
This is huge, Brian. This is a big chunk of this map.
Yeah, well,
you could fit Lowe's and Kegler's in there.
You could, just about, it looks like, looking at the map here. And, you know, it's going to put, there'll be more entrances then for traffic on 29. Certainly, that's something the Virginia Department of Transportation is concerned about, is what they call access management.
Yeah, how do you get people in and out of there?
Well, and
is there going to be a new light?
Limiting the number of new openings. I don't believe so, because there's a light at the north end of the property already.
Goodness gracious.
More on that next week.
Yeah, definitely.
Northtown Center.
A new shopping center coming to 29 North across from Lowe's and Kegler's. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Coy.
Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, joins us on Tuesdays. Y'all have a great night. Stay tuned for Best Seat in the House, live out at Wild Wing Cafe.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.